Hello, everybody. I'm Brian LeMaster, host of the show called The Watchman. I'm CEO of Innovative Tactical Concepts, and I head up the church security training program called The Watchman. Since this is my first podcast, I'm going to warn you that I'm not going to pull punches, to sugarcoat things, etc. In doing so, I do not think that I'm doing anyone any favors. Kind of like preachers and evangelists who teach a watered-down gospel. People need to hear the truth and deal with the truth, and that's what you're going to get from me. Now, I'll say that you may or may not agree with what I say. Some might even mistake my candor for being arrogant. I'm only trying to convey what is on my heart and what I think will help you all to save lives, okay? So I'm very passionate about what I do, and there are a lot of things that I've seen over the years that make me mad because of sheer stupidity and because people do not train. I'll get into all that in another podcast. Today's podcast, which is episode number one, is going to be a review of the recent Texas shooting. Now, I've been training people for over 30 years, and I've been team leader on a church security team in a large church for well over a decade. I've trained well over 300 churches nationwide with hands-on training, and another 500 or so through the Watchman DVD series. Why I'm doing this podcast, it's real simple. It's to help educate you so that you can improve your security team plan. And what you're not going to hear is information that will compromise operational security, or OPSEC as we call it. Now, I'm going to share some information with you that will give you some ideas and challenge you and even make you mad. And I make no apology for that, because it's probably your ego that's going to get bruised with what I said was the truth. All right, now that I've said all that, I want to take a look at the recent shooting in Texas where an armed security guard took out the suspect. Now, a lot of what I have to say is because I watched the video and then later found more information. Now, there are a lot of so-called experts out there who have given their assessment of what happened. And honestly, I don't agree with a lot of them, because for the most part, they are only looking at what happened in the video. For those of you who haven't seen the video, a man in the congregation stood up, approached an usher, said something, we don't know what that is, then steps back and draws a shotgun. Another man stands up and reaches for his gun, which his name was Richard, hesitates or looks like he cannot get his gun out, and the gunman shoots him first, okay? Then the original usher, which his name was Tony, got shot immediately after that. Then another man, Jack, who was actually the guy who delivered the deadly blow to the suspect from about 50 feet away. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a heck of a shot to make. And the reason why he took the headshot was because it was really what he had to shoot at. And he was worried about the crowd being up and around, so on and so forth. So good job, Jack. That was one heck of a shot, buddy. While most people are only looking at the video aspect of what happened, it is my professional opinion that we need to take a closer look at the real issue. And that is, how did it come to shots being fired, okay? I believe that their security plan had major holes in it. I sure hope that they're going to improve their plan after this, because a responsible team leader would. And, you know, they go back and be look at what happened, what went wrong, how did they ever get to that point. I don't care about why the shooter did what he did, etc., etc., okay? That's really irrelevant as far as I'm concerned. What matters is he was able to pull off what he did. First of all, with the way that the bad guy was dressed, he should have been confronted long before making his way into the sanctuary. That's a huge mistake, the way he was dressed. The gunman had a shotgun and I believe an AR pistol underneath his coat, and both of these were missed by the security team. And I'll be real honest with you, there's no excuse for that. A team that is properly trained should have been set up in a minimum of three layers. You're going to hear me talk more about this in another podcast, but we believe in the layering system for security. What most of you may not be aware of is that approximately 74% of situations take place in the parking lot or outside, and this is where the first layer of security should be. I'm a firm believer in having a highly visible security force in the parking lot, roaming around the building, so on and so forth, looking in cars, etc., because you want to keep the fight outside of the building where there are less bodies. Think about it. If the gunman had encountered several highly visible security personnel outside, would that have made him think twice about going in and doing something? In my professional opinion, yes, it would have. Maybe it wouldn't have, okay? If the first layer didn't pick up on him, then the second layer in the foyer should have, and the gunman should have seen, once again, several highly visible security personnel. And lastly, the threat should have seen more security personnel inside the sanctuary, even adding more doubt to him questioning his actions, okay? So the more people you see as security, the less likely someone is going to try to pull something off. That's just the way that it is. Now, one of the most important things for a security team is a high level of awareness and of their surroundings, okay? In fact, it should be at the top of the list. It is very evident that this was not the case with this particular security team. Again, if the gunman would have encountered several visible security personnel in the parking lot, then the foyer, and in the sanctuary, would this have ever happened? Again, my initial thoughts are no. If a bad guy sees a formidable opponent, they probably are not going to try something because most of these kinds of people are cowards. Think about it. If a bank robber pulls up to rob a bank and sees a law enforcement officer in a car or even a marked car in the parking lot, will they follow through? Probably not. Okay. Personally, with the way he was dressed, at minimal, and I'm saying bare minimal, I would have had at least two team members standing up within a few feet of this particular suspect. The reason for standing up is so that they can respond quicker. Now, some people might, you know, go, hey, well, you're going to make a person feel uneasy, so on and so forth. I don't care about that. What I care about is protecting people. Now, Tony, he was the guy who was standing in the corner that made initial contact with the suspect, was either not part of the security team, he wasn't caring, not trained, or he froze up. Now, he should have at least moved himself. He should have at least moved, making himself a difficult target. Ideally, and I say ideally, he would have closed the distance and at minimal fought for the gun. Rather, he stood still and did nothing. The man who stood up and got shot first, again, his name was Richard, hesitated and stood still, okay? Both of these were fatal mistakes. He had approximately 3 seconds to respond before the gunman shot him, okay? Most people think that they won't hesitate. Well, let me tell you a little something about that. It was around 2004, maybe 2005, give or take a year or two, that the USCCA published a study that was done on reaction times, etc. They concluded that 85% of the time, people, including trained soldiers and cops, will hesitate and take a life even when justified in doing so. I think this video showed just that. And it cost the guy his life. Okay, it cost Richard his life. We talk about fight and flight, but rarely, and I say rarely, do you hear about the freeze aspect. This may very well been what happened. In any case, the outcome was unfortunate and avoidable. The people in the congregation did a good thing, and that was to get down. This allowed the security guard, Jack, to take that well-aimed shot. Had the crowd been up and moving, odds are Jack would have had to close the distance to shoot, and more people might have died or become injured. Yes, it was all over in about 5 or 6 seconds. However, if the team had responded more effectively, the threat could have been neutralized much faster, with the only death of that of the gunman, or no deaths at all. Of course, there is no way to prove that. The bottom line is that the rituals of attack and behavioral signs were present, but everyone seemed to ignore them. Everyone is focused on the fact that the armed security guard took the gunman out, while we really need to be thinking about what all failed for it to ever get to that point. I could go into more detail about why I think their plan was flawed, but that's for another time. Now, again, I will give Jack kudos for that headshot, only with one shot. I don't see that very often, okay? Now, in some updated information that I got, I found out that the suspect had been to the church and was somewhat of a problem. The suspect had been to the church before and was some sort of problem. This makes things even worse, in my opinion. They have a person who is known for issues, and they have not taken what I consider to be good security measures to ensure the safety of the people in the congregation. It's my understanding that they didn't want to make the man uncomfortable. Say what? Listen to what I'm about to say. Our job as security is not to make anyone feel comfortable, period. I'm not saying that you have to be rude or anything like that. If we have someone that we deem a potential threat, our number one priority is to take the necessary measures to protect people without exception or excuses. Not everyone's going to be comfortable having security in a church. They can build a bridge and get over it because it's biblical. The problem with most Christians in America is that they're ignorant to what the Word of God really says. In Luke 22:36, Jesus tells the disciples, "If you do not have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one." Jesus told those closest to him to pack heat. If Jesus was here today and said the same thing, odds are it would have went something like this. If you do not have a Glock, sell your clothes and buy one. Okay. Maybe not necessarily a Glock, but you get the point. A sword was the means of protection back in those times, okay? So today, it's a sidearm. But killing people is wrong. That, my friends, is pure ignorance speaking. Murdering in cold blood is wrong. Get educated on what the Word says. The Bible actually says to protect people. Read the story of the watchman in Ezekiel if you don't understand what I'm saying. I just can't really believe the ignorance of people. Oh, we don't need security in a church. Well, tell God that, because He's called us to do it. So deal with it. Now, I'm not saying that we should stand around with AR-15s or shotguns making people feel uneasy. There may come a time when that needs to happen, but a highly visible security force is the biggest deterrent. If you don't like it, go down the street where they don't care enough to have a security team. Go down there in your own little fantasy world and feel good, feel warm and fuzzy there, because they just don't really care about you. Okay, bad stuff happens to good people. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. But anyway, I've seen where some so-called church security experts are telling people that they should have a 2 second to draw from draw to shot time. Let me tell you something. That is far too slow. I don't know where they get this stuff from, but I wouldn't trust them to train anyone with that mindset. We hold security teams to a high standard, okay? In our training, we start people out with a 1.5 second shot timer because we don't tell them that we're going to test them for drawing and shooting in our course. In fact, we don't even tell them we're going to do this exercise. Why not? Because we want to see where they are in their skill set, okay? If you give them a chance of practice, then you're not going to give a true, you're not going to get a true result for this particular drill. I really want to, when I do this, I want people to see that they have to practice this stuff. It's not just something that you can do without, you know, several thousand draws. Now, why I said 1.5 seconds is because that we set the shot clock at 1.5 seconds is because the average person can cover 21 feet of ground in about 1.5 seconds. This is from the Tooler drill. If you don't know what this is, It's where an attacker is 21 feet away from you, and they charge towards you with a knife, and you have to react to that by drawing your gun and shooting. Of course, you're not going to be shooting at anyone, right? But you get the gist. The OODA loop, which is observe, orient, decide, and act, takes about, on average, 0.5 seconds, so about a half a second to execute this loop. Now, of course, this can happen slower or faster, okay, depending upon the person's skill level and being able to react to things. But this also applies to driving your car and reaction times in general, okay? So the OODA loop doesn't apply just to where guns are. Now, 1.5 second time is not enough in a life or death situation. It's just not enough time to draw. Okay, so what I'm saying is that's too slow. I can tell you that about 98% of the people cannot draw in about 1.5 seconds because they haven't practiced it. How can you expect to do something that you've never done? Come on, people. You need to train. After we run everyone in the training through one evolution, we now move the shot clock to 1 second. Do I really have to tell you what the results are? I don't think so. No one could do it. Yet, they are carrying guns to defend others and cannot draw their gun under 1 second. Now, some of you might be sitting there still thinking that you can defend yourself or others without having to put the training time in. I'm telling you to drop the ego and get up off your butt and get to training. Because if you cannot draw and shoot in under a second or right at a second, then you should not be on the team. It is really that simple. Either step up and train more or be a man and step down from the team because you're not watchman material. I'm tired of men who are not willing to do what it takes to be done in order to acquire the skill sets necessary to be an effective and productive member of a security team. Now, for those of you who have stepped up and made the decision to be a watchman, I personally want to thank you for doing so. Not everyone is called to do this. It takes a special type of person to be part of this ministry. As security personnel, we have to protect those who do not want protection or do not see the need for protection. That's the reality of what we do. Not everyone is going to appreciate what we do. In fact, some might even dislike us. As crazy as that sounds, there are people in the church who do not want us doing what we're doing because they're ignorant. Not everyone's going to appreciate what we do. And again, some people might even dislike us. However, we're not here to be liked, be acknowledged, etc. We are here to be protectors of the flock. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, going back real quick to the flaws in the security plan, it should have never gotten to this point. This guy had walked in with fake hair, a fake beard, a three-quarter length coat on, is my understanding, and he made it in the sanctuary where he was able to take shots. That's nonsense, people. That should have never have happened. And if you layer your security plan, then he should have never made it inside that building, okay? Your first layer, the high concentration of security people, should be in the parking lot or around the building being visible, because 74% of situations take place outside or in the parking lot. This is where your security team should be strong to discourage anybody from trying anything. Now, if you're listening to this and you're currently looking to get a team up and running, or you have a team in operation but you're looking for more training, be sure to visit our website at www.ministry-of-defense.com for on-site training, conferences, etc. The Watchman DVD series, which is about 8.5 hours long, as well as our interactive online training, are on our website as well, and those are great training resources. Anyone who is serious about this ministry is going to want to further their skill set. And we feel that we do a great job in providing you the edge necessary to protect the flock, because we don't just teach church security like a lot of other trainers. I've actually run a team for over a decade, and I know the challenges that you're going to face, and I know the skills that you need. Why would you go to someone for training who does not have the experience of being on a team? It just doesn't make good sense to me. Good training is going to cost, folks. I hope that you understand the concept that you get what you pay for, and that is true in church security as well. No one who knows what they're doing and truly has an effective plan is going to do this for cheap. I can tell you that our training is probably the most expensive out there for hands-on training. However, I can also tell you that few people come close to the quality of training that we offer. Some of you might be thinking right now, well, why are you charging for church security? Why do you pay for an electrician to come to do work at your facility? Why do you pay people to build your church? Because it's what the Lord told me to do. It's really that simple. Why does a pastor collect a paycheck? I mean, you look at it. Where do you want to go with this, okay? Now, if you're paying less than $150 a day for training per person, then I'm going to tell you that it's probably not quality training. Yeah, I know. That may seem expensive, but I've seen a lot of trainers over the years in a wide variety of training venues, and that's the minimal that I see quality professional training being offered at. That's the minimum that I'm willing to pay for quality training. I've been to classes that are less money, and honestly, they were a joke. Lives are on the line here, people, and you cannot place a dollar value on that. I'm not saying in the past that I've not worked with some churches on pricing, and I will, to the best of my ability, do that. But it is what it is. I'm just telling you, because even if we don't get your business, I want your team to get quality training. I've traveled coast to coast and taught classes, taken classes, all of which are starting in the price range of what I just quoted. Also, we will travel and teach you. So if you're interested in a hands-on course, contact us. We'll come to you. Also, even if you don't choose to train with us and you need to ask a question or anything that we can help you out with, I've helped a lot of people out over the years with questions, challenges, etc. I have no problem doing that and not making any money. We're all in this together. All right, now, if you're in need of any Kydex holsters, mag pouches, light carriers, etc., be sure to visit our website. We give 30% off for those who are on church security teams. And that website is modernwarriorconcealment.com. Once again, that's modernwarriorconcealment.com. Now, for those of you who live in Indiana, Ohio, there's a training group that I belong to that offers professional training at a good price. For example, pistol classes, shotgun, carbine, precision rifle, medical classes, etc. Now, they're not necessarily a church security program, but they can and will help you become better at a lot of things for a really great price. For more information on that, go to www.7ccrt.org. Once again, that is www.7ccrt.org. And if you decide to sign up, please, and I ask you, please, simply use my name as who sent you or referred you. Once again, my name's Brian LaMaster, L.A. Master, and I'm out of Richmond, Indiana. Okay? So, that's pretty much it, folks, for today's show. Thanks for listening, and until next time, train hard, train often, and most of all, train realistically.